Governor Larry Roden was not your typical incumbent, yet he used his office to reset relationships and convince Republicans he was the right candidate to carry the GOP banner in November. You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. When Governor Kristi Noem left her post to accept a position with the Trump administration in 2025, Lieutenant Governor Larry Roden, in accordance with state law, became governor of South Dakota. Well, this week he secured his own spot on the ballot by defeating Aberdeen businessman Toby Doden. Roden will face Democratic candidate Dan Ahlers in the general election in November. Just how consequential was this election? For today's Dakota Political Junkies analysis, we hear from journalist Seth Tupper. He is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. I connected with him from the SDPB studios in Rapid City. You had mentioned early on in this campaign, and it struck me last night as I was watching the results come in, Larry Roden was never an incumbent in the traditional sense of the word. This was always an open seat. And at the time, I hadn't been thinking about it that way and had pivoted my thought process. It behaved like that the entire time. It was never his to lose. It was only his to build to a victory. What did you notice throughout the campaign that validated that perspective that you had early on?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because now I think I would say and give Governor Roden credit that he, you know, even though he wasn't a true incumbent, he's built himself into that and was able to, build a record of some policy wins and utilize the office to the extent that, even though, he wasn't an incumbent, and obviously Dusty Johnson didn't really look at him as a traditional incumbent and, you know, thought he could come in and sort of push him aside in the primary, Governor Roden was able to do enough to kind of build himself into incumbent and have some of those advantages. And, you know, I've said this over and over, and so have so many others, but, you know, coming into office and getting some bills passed to deal with property taxes after Governor Noem didn't do anything on property taxes, coming in and cleaning up a mess of a prison proposal that Governor Noem left behind and getting that across the finish line, and then bringing some resolution, at least for now, to the controversial carbon capture pipeline proposal with a ban on eminent domain for carbon capture pipelines. You know, he got himself a record to run on, and he used that like any incumbent would, and was quite successful at it.
He reset his relationship with legislators. He reset the relationship with the press. He reset the relationship with just civility in general. He led with that, and he was incredibly consistent throughout the entire process. There's a few moments where you can say, was that really civil? But other than that, he was very solid. He was a very solid and consistent candidate throughout.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, we've talked about it on your show before, but and I don't know how much of a difference advertising makes these days, you know, in this social media world. But, you know, I've rarely seen advertisements, political advertisements, better fitted to the candidate than Larry Roden's messages were. Whoever, managed that and wrote those scripts and did that, you know, to especially there was one airing lately where he's leaning against a pickup and just says in the camera that he's not a very good public speaker, you know, and never has been, whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of a brilliant tactic to say, you know, I'm not running from my weaknesses. I'm just going to acknowledge them up front and play up my strengths. And and that really, he was consistent with that throughout, of just saying, this is what I am, you know, take it or leave it. And whereas some other candidates, you know, you had Dusty Johnson launching his campaign with an advertisement of him, you know, driving a dirty pickup and not looking very authentic, and then saying, he seemed to be saying, these are my weaknesses, and I'm going to try to convince you they're not weaknesses.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And Roden seemed to do the opposite of just saying, this is who I am.
Yeah. More than 7,300 people switch from either the Democratic Party or as registered independents to become Republicans. And many of them presumably, if they were willing to do that, voted in the primary. Is he given, has Larry Roden given particularly independent voters? Because most of the dialogue has been about, you know, people switching to vote against Toby Doden. You know, they'll say on Facebook, I'm making this switch because Doden must be stopped. But presumably there are also independent voters who came home to the Republican Party. Has he given some people a reason to come back and engage in politics? Is that a stretch? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, obviously if you look at the fact that, Doden got 31% in the primary and then went backward to 29% in the runoff, certainly Democrats and independents switching over to vote against him, you know, that I think that showed up in that in that move backward. So that was, you know, obviously a factor. You know, I did hear on SDPB's air some audio of Governor Roden saying at his watch party when he was asked, you know, what do you think about people switching over from Democrat and independent, of him being very welcoming and saying, you know, that's great. You know, he's saying that he's inclusive and he's here to, you know, have conversations with everybody and build relationships. And so obviously he showed that's a much more productive way to go about building support than to, you know, complain that it's fraud for people to switch their, switch their party registration and say, we don't want people who aren't real Democrats and, or who aren't real Republicans in the party, et cetera. I think he showed that, you know, obviously the old saying, politics, you know, is a game of addition, not subtraction. I mean, obviously he understood that and used it to his advantage.
Jackie Hendry asked him those questions at his watch party or his celebration party last night. Addition instead of subtraction. Last week, I think John Hunter mentioned Toby Doden on his victory night during the primary, really, you know, crowing about the victory in a way that perhaps alienated Dusty Johnson voters who were still in play to vote in the runoff. And then over the weekend, he was on, Doden was on Facebook criticizing John Hansen for not coming along with his group, which seemed like another perhaps unforced error to say all these people who voted for Johnson and who voted for Hansen are going to show up at the polls on Tuesday and you're subtracting, not adding. Is it the victory speech that ended his campaign in some ways? Like what, how do you think he could have done that, Doden? Could he have done that better to sort of bring some of those voters into his camp?
I think by the last week or two, just the wheels were falling off, and even though he wouldn't admit it, he had seen the poll like we all did, the Kelo and Emerson College polling release showing him down by 30, and you know, you saw just sort of sour grapes, I think, in him saying, coming out and saying that he asked John Hansen three times to be on the ticket, and he never accepted. But, you know, I think what he could have done differently, obviously, you know, I don't know what the real communication between Doden and Hansen was, but you know, if after the primary immediately that next week or in the next few days, you know, Doden could have somehow gotten Hansen on the ticket and brought in all his supporters, well, you know, maybe that's a game changer. But you know, I think the smartest thing I heard, I think maybe I heard some people say Nathan Sanderson at the Retailers Association was one of them, I think a while back, talking about that they thought, you know, Doden's support had pretty much topped out at the 31% he got in the primary. And when you look at the fact that he lost by 42 points in the runoff, it's hard to say anything would have made a difference when you suffer that kind of an enormous landslide loss.
And yet he called this a movement toward affordability, a movement of people rising up and being angry at political elites, at the establishment. Is there any truth to that? Do we see the Doden voters, what do they do next? The ones who are really energized to come out for his campaign. Where do they go now?
Yeah, apparently the movement was exactly the opposite, to say that the Republican voters want more of the same. They want somebody who's more of a traditional Republican. They want to return to normalcy after a lot of years of strife with Kristi Noem and Donald Trump and sort of, you know, just sort of the never-ending, you know, stream of drama that politicians like that subject us all to. And so there seemed to be a sort of a rejection of that. And it's part of just, you know, probably just the natural pendulum swing, too, of, you know, things swing back and forth from one extreme to the other. And we're that period kind of had its run in South Dakota, and now we're moving on to something else.
It's the true reset. The people have bought into, the Republican Party has bought into the reset, judging from the numbers from last night. And you mentioned I think it was on Kello. I think he was talking to Dan Santella about how, you know, what are you going to do next? How are you going to pivot to the general? And he's like, we're going to give a couple days off so that voters can have a break. South Dakotans can have a break from all that, which I thought was incredibly empathetic to the exhaustion. It wasn't just my staff needs, my family needs to rest. I'm going to get back to the business of the state of South Dakota for a while because I've, you know, been maintaining this whole time. He specifically acknowledged how exhausted people were of the length of this campaign. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really smart of him as well.
When we had the exact same conversation, you know, I had a conversation with my reporters this morning, you know, about is there a follow-up? Do we do? And I just settled on the same thing, which was, man, it's just been nothing but politics for so long. Three elections this year. You know, it's probably time to just let it, you know, simmer for a little bit before we come back to it, because, you know, November is going to be upon us before we know it. So it's not going to be a very long break, but it seems like a day or two is enough to let people go without thinking about politics 24/7.
Yeah, take a beat. That has to work against Democrats. That has to work against Dan Ahlers. He has an incredibly high hill to climb.
He sure does. You know, and as we noted in our story today, it's been 52 years, I think it is, since we've elected a Democrat in South Dakota. So, but you know, and I, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the registration numbers are all leaning Republican and the trends, you know, that way. But if there's anything to take from this, you know, campaign for the Republican nomination for governor, it's that you can't ever take anything for granted in politics, right? I mean, again, if you'd have told anybody 5 years ago that Dusty Johnson would come in third in a primary for governor, people would have said, you're crazy. Right. And if you'd have told them, you know, the guy who finished first in the primary was somebody named Toby Doden, who nobody had ever heard of at that point, that said, what?
Right, you know?
So, you know, I
or
mean...
Or that somebody who performed in a debate, as Larry Roden performed in that primary debate, which, you know, made a lot of headlines and people did a lot of grousing. And I just said, I don't know that that's the most important thing that South Dakotans care about, is whether or not he can speak without pausing in a debate, because we sort of like homegrown cowboy leaders. But yeah, that didn't hurt him. It might have helped him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, you know, I think that Governor Roden is so similar to former Governor Dennis Dugard in so many ways. And Governor Dugard was at Roden's watch party in Sioux Falls, to the point where I've made the Freudian slip a number of times of calling Governor Roden Governor Dugard, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that there's that sort of brand of politics that always seems to do well in South Dakota, which is more of, you know, whether it's true or not, the image of humble and hardworking and a workhorse rather than a show horse and that kind of thing. There just seems to always be a place for somebody like that in politics. And there was a place like that for, you know, Tim Johnson, a Democrat, for decades in South Dakota. And you know, again, that's why I say, you know, you never take anything for granted, because you just never know when that magical mix of the right candidate at the right time with the right message is going to come along. And not predicting anything for the general, you know, but just saying that, you know, predictions often go wrong.
Yeah. So he could be governor for 10 years?
It looks that way to me. You know, I did some checking around with some folks who I think should be in the know on something like this. And I don't know that this has ever been tested or anything, but, you know, our state constitution seems to say that, you know, you can't be elected to more than two terms as governor. And I guess the theory is, obviously, that since Governor Roden, you know, ascended to being governor through the line of succession rather than being directly elected to it for these past 2 years, he could serve those last 2 years of Noem's term, and then he could potentially win, you know, two of his own consecutive terms if that's something he wants to try to do. So talk about ramifications in election. I mean, you know, we may have, you know, this win in the primary and this hard-fought primary could have set Roden up to be governor for 8 more years. It could set up his lieutenant governor, Tony Van Huysen, to be in a very strong position to run for governor, you know, when Roden is done. And meanwhile, somebody like Dusty Johnson, who seemed to be, you know, the world was his oyster not too long ago. Suddenly he's completely sidelined. And it's just amazing how the fates turn and how we can be surprised in the realm of politics sometimes.
Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. You can find his work online at southdakotasearchlight.com. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.